We already locked in?
Yeah, we are live, sir.
Oh, okay. Let me get off my phone, man.
It's all right. No worries. I always like to give it a couple seconds, let people kind of start populating in and all that good stuff, too.
So we get to answer questions, too?
I mean, we don't have to, but if you'd like to, we can.
Yeah, let's have a couple of questions. That are out there lingering. Because obviously it's, you know, what we got going on is definitely different. It could be, it can use some explaining a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get that. And maybe we'll answer some of the questions people have. But yeah, we'll definitely take some time towards the end here and we'll look at some of the questions that people may have. An easy way, since we're saying that, an easy way for us to find questions are if you send in some stars with your question attached, it'll be easy for us to find them. Otherwise, we'll definitely look through the questions, but it does make it easier for me to find them because it populates them in a segment of the chat where it's easy to find. So if you have a dying question, a dire question that you want to ask, even if you send it with like 50 stars or whatnot, we'll be able to find that a lot easier. Otherwise, go ahead and try to throw it in the chat. We'll try to find it, but it might be a little rough that way. So I'm just being fair and honest with you guys out there. But hello, welcome everyone. We are back with another Community Talk. I'm your host, Corey Elijah. I'm here with Wes. We are here to talk about something amazing today. It is the first annual African American Club Gala that is going to be this Saturday, correct?
Yeah, this Saturday.
At the Apis.
At the Apis.
Man. Absolutely. So, I mean, there's a lot of buzz about this online, you know, especially as we get closer to the event. Yeah. I've been seeing, you know, a lot of people making posts and stuff about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm seeing, you know, people with their tickets and all of that.
Yeah.
So,
Marketing, man.
That's the way you
got to
do it.
I took a couple of marketing classes and I think I nailed it this time. Because it was one of those things where we wanted to have that chatter, you know, and build a buzz. And get people kind of more interested about what the African American Club is. So we were able to move in a more stealthier way as opposed to saying, hey, this is what we got going on, come and hang out. So ultimately we, when I say we, a lot of it was me because I... I'm anal, and I like things done a certain way, so a lot of times I don't even ask, I just kind of just do it, so it's the buzz is there, now we have, you know, a lot of people more interested, there are, you know, there's still some tickets left, I wouldn't say we're close to sold out, but we're getting there. We're inching towards that, especially as more and more information is released. Because, again, throwing your whole information out there for everybody to see, it kind of gets lost in the social media world for sure.
Right, yeah, so. Things definitely move really, really fast on my end. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably understand that more than everybody.
So let's kind of give people, I mean, we don't have to get into a full breakdown, but explain however you would like to explain. What is the African American Club?
Yeah, man. So I'm, you know, born and raised here in Kenosha. We have here in Kenosha, and there are obviously other other cities, they have social clubs for different cultures. For instance, here we have the Italian American Club. We have the Swedish American Club. There are other social clubs like the VFW or the Moose Lodge, things like that. And they highlight that culture or subculture. And in doing so, it kind of brings a camaraderie or a community in that they're able to come together as like minds. Or like relationships or like situations, things like that. So a few years back, the African American Club came to me through, you know, a few different conversations with people. originally, you know, asking my network, meaning like my mom, my grandmother, stuff like that, asking them, has there ever been an African American club, like the Italian American club? Mm. And they kind of were like, no, you know, they just like, no. Mm. I was like, okay, well, hmm. So I, you know, did some more research, and then, you know, in my research, I found that there's never been one here in Kenosha, and there's never been one in the state of Wisconsin. Oh, wow. So I kind of just threw it out there just to see what was going to happen or whatever, and I came up with, I went and got the URL, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no, there's no way. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you go on a domain site or whatever and try to buy a URL that's kind of popping, you know, the price might mm-hmm. might go up. You know what I mean? But it was, you know, $12.99.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, all right, let me do some more research. Mm. So I did some more research to find out that there are other African-American cultural clubs, mm. but none specific like the African-American club here in Kenosha. Mm. There's a gun club, if I'm not mistaken, in Michigan, mm. and there's an African American club, which is like a, and I don't want to do them any justice or any disservice, but the one in Florida is kind of geared towards the older population.
Oh,
and it's, you know, they do things like gardening and stuff like that, mm. if I'm not mistaken. But all in all, after that, that's it for the United States.
Wow.
So, I did some work, mm. had to do some more work, and did some research, did my research, did my, you know, business stuff and everything like that, and wanted to see where we can go with it. So, you know, talking to other members of other social clubs, seeing how they work their memberships and things like that, and, you know, understanding that the blueprint is there.
Mm.
But it still was shocking to me that we didn't have that here.
Mm-hmm.
Still kind of shocking, to be honest. And I think the shock now is because I've been out in the streets more, you know, promoting the African American Club itself. And, you know, you see a lot of people who are like, we don't have that. That's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the... you know, I guess the beginning of it all. So, I mean, obviously we'll talk about details and stuff like that, but yeah, man, it just came out of nowhere. And before, because I had the idea to move forward for a while, but I wasn't in the right space to do so or to take it that on because of family, career, and, you know, whether it was schooling or military, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I had to be in a right position to do so. And turns out, you know, within the last year or so, a little over a year or so, that actually helped out. So,
yes.
So yeah, man.
Man, it does kind of seem like to be a perfect time for this to be kind of rolling out and happening too, you know, with everything that's gone on, you know, in the city and like, you know, you know, perceptions get created and stuff like that too,
sure.
You know? So it's great to see something that's coming out, you know, that's, I mean, it's incredibly positive. Like you said, it might even be just, you know, I don't want to say our ignorance of mm-hmm. just assuming there would be something like that already established. Mm-hmm. But man, that's...
No, we were, and again, I was the same way. So I have, you know, I can't sit up here and be... judgmental
mm.
or anything like that to anyone because who would have thought?
Mm.
Now, a lot of that comes from the fact that we have services
mm.
and we have things and other entities that our culture kind of gravitates towards.
Right. It's less of the...
So, yeah.
It's less social. It's more socioeconomic.
Right. Well, with the African American Club, we're going to be a social club like any other,
mm.
but with some flavor and with a twist. And obviously, we'll get into that. But ultimately, you know, it was like the... you know, the other services that we had. When I was growing up, we had the Lincoln Center, right?
Right.
And the Lincoln Center was a pillar on the south side, right? Then you go on the north side. Boo, by the way.
I'm a north sider.
You a north sider?
Yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
It's all right.
But y'all north siders, y'all
I remember going to the Lincoln Center a couple times, though, like, and being watched by, you know, Miss Morris was my grandma's friend back in the day. So I used to be over there. I have love for it, but I'm still a north sider.
No, it's all good. I know y'all, when y'all had the Boys and Girls Club, right? Right behind Food for Less. Mm. Wait, we can still say that, right?
Like
people know that.
That's where it was.
All right. So behind Food for Less, everything was behind Food for Less.
Right.
But but y'all had the North Side Boys and Girls Club, and then the Midtown. You know, they had CYC, right? So those places were, you know, obviously pillars in our or in my generation. They were pillars for our culture. You know what I mean? But not in the realm of ownership or in the realm of community, you know what I mean? The Lincoln Center was more, in my opinion, the Lincoln Center was more community based. And what I mean by that was the Mahone family, their vision was driving the Lincoln Center. And their vision had multiple different, you know, ways for our community to, you know, coincide or to thrive, you know, from neighborhood cleanups, right? My mom was a facilitator of that because she was the liaison for the Lincoln Center. I guess, well, it turned into the Boys and Girls Club. I'm not exactly sure how that transitioned or whatever, but it was a transition. but, you know, she was able to drive, you know, home community outreach programs and things like that. And, you know, the people on the South Side in my era, we really grew up like brothers and sisters, right? Because we all had, you know, whether we liked it or not, we were latchkey kids. You know, moms was gone at work or whatever. Pops was wherever, you know what I'm saying? And when we got out of school, it was go straight to the Lincoln Center, right? Don't go past go. And I lived on 16th Avenue. So I lived literally right down the street from the Lincoln Center. So I remember, you know, going from Lincoln Elementary, passing home. Sometimes I would go home and, you know, grab a snack, you know what I'm saying? Don't tell my mom. but we grab it, you know what I'm saying? We go straight to the Lincoln Center and, you know, we would, you know, do our homework and then we have, you know, our time to kind of just hang around and do different things with the with that organization. So that is the experience that I had. And then, you know, talking to others, that was the experience that they had as well, like at the Boys and Girls Club or at the CYC, right? So, but again, once those, when they left, you know, they left at a time where, you know, I was, you know, starting to get a little older, 11, 12, 13 years old. And, you know, they shut it down or transitioned to the Boys and Girls Club that's still standing today, the newer building. But for us on the South Side, we kind of fell into a rut. So yeah, anyway, all of that being said, the African American Club is a brainchild from a lot of that. So,
life experience,
yeah,
and just seeing a void in the community that needed to be filled.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's really a, like I said, it's not my idea. It's a blueprint that's already been out there, and I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm just adding a little flavor to it. So putting some treads on something that had already had, you know, traction. So throwing some new treads on there. Like I said, the goal for us now is to, especially after the year we've had, well, I don't want to sound too political, but you know, it's been longer than a year.
Yeah, I was going to say. This time period of who really knows how long it actually really has been.
Right. We, you know, the fact that we're having the same conversations that our parents and their parents have been having about, you know, the equality or the, you know, social experience being black in America. And I could be more specific in saying, hey, being black in Kenosha. And I feel as if I can say that because obviously I was born and raised here. And I was able to see, you know, different angles and different, you know, vantage points. From, you know, from a law enforcement standpoint to just being a guy on the street, right? The narrative that, you know, black people have it pretty hard, in my opinion, is true. You know what I mean? But that's no excuse for us not to have a thing like the African American Club. You know what I'm saying? Because ultimately, no one really cares. You know, like outside of our community, you would, you know, well, we've gotten some bad, you know, comments and stuff like that on our Facebook page, but everyone does, right? Like my mom says, if you were put on this earth to be liked, you know. So, anyway, but yeah, man, we're moving forward. The African American Club doesn't. I gave all that background information to kind of just kill it, because we're now moving forward. We're looking back to gain from those instances or incidents and things like that. But we are progressive, right? We're going to be progressive. This social club / everything else is going to be progressive, and we're going to be moving forward, understanding our history, but changing our future. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you really can do at the end of the day, right? Sure. Try to hold the reins as best as you can and get to that finish line. So how have things been since the inception of the club? And, you know, I know you're working with a lot of great people in the community, Alvin Owens being one of them. I see, you know, see him making posts and all that stuff, making sure people are all...
I'm using him. I'm using him. Alvin's my cousin, just like Alvin's everybody else's cousin. But he has, you know, I'm using him as a, I'm using him as a guide, just someone to guide me along the way, right? There are others who are out there in the shadows, Tim Mahone being one of them. They have been able to guide me down the path of this new generation of communal help for our culture. Because they have been very instrumental in that field here in Kenosha for a very long time. Not that the torch has been passed yet, but I believe that they're setting me up so that way, if they do choose to, then they know that it's going to go in, you know, capable hands. So a lot of arguments about what I believe the African American Club should be, what it should be doing, between Alvin and I. But yeah, he's a, you know, a piece to our puzzle. When it comes to our structure, because I have a military background, our structure is different. It's not like any other social club. The African American Club isn't for everybody, right? What I mean by that is, you know, we're 95% inclusive. That other 5% comes from any other social club. As long as you're a member, then you'll be able to see that 5% or be a part of that 5%. So, you know, when we have our Sunday dinners and stuff like that or whatever, unless you're a member or, you know, related to members or whatever it is, you know, that would be a us time. But structurally, as the founder, as myself, and then there's going to be directors, and those directors are going to have their leadership positions. And those leadership positions are going to be held by those who are aspiring to be in those director roles. And the director roles are established businesses, business owners, I'm sorry, established, you know, child care providers, and, you know, having the ability to have a community. So I'm the founder of the African American Club. I'm also the founder of the National African American Foundation. The African American Club isn't, like I said, just like any other social club, but there's a twist. A lot of the twist is a lot of, or I guess the rollout, because we're going to do it in phases and stages through my business plan and everything like that. But the goal is to start with a business incubator. Okay. And that's one of the reasons why I was saying it's not for everybody. The business incubator isn't necessarily for those who have already had their businesses and things like that going and operating, but for those who have the idea to do so. And that idea is going to be harnessed and, you know, molded and hopefully be able to help create that vision that they have in a more positive way. So that way, we're not just pushing out black businesses, we're pushing out quality as well, right? Because the mission for the African American Club is to change the economic status of 5 families every year, right? And a lot of that is going to be based on the business incubator portion of it. There's also going to be a, you know, the social aspect of it, right? So we're going to have an event space. The goal is to, and a lot of our fundraising is going towards, you know, our building aspirations. But we're going to have, you know, different lanes, right? So Black Wall Street Kenosha is a real thing. And that's essentially what the African American Club is going to be, a community within a community. Again, not totally exclusive. The community is going to be for just like any other group. When you read their bylaws and things like that, you're welcome if you can enjoy the culture, take in something from the culture, believe in the culture, want to learn something from the culture. If that's the case, hey, come on in. Right? We are more than willing to work with other, you know, groups and partnerships, but we at the African American Club want to make sure that the African American culture is pushed first. Right? So there is no I, there's a us. And again, taking those different means and different blueprints from yesteryear, taking what was great, moving it over, you know. But yeah, there's going to be, like I said, the goal is to have our own, you know, spot, our own compound, if you will, where we will be able to have things like the Second Baptist Festival, right? Because we have the St. Mary's and St. Martin, these, you know, Mount Carmel, these festivals are amazing, right? We love them, right? We flock to them every summer. But there are, you know, historically black congregations of, you know, spiritual leaders and things like that here in Kenosha who, you know, they have, you know, their faith to be presented. And, you know, it's up to me, when I say me, I mean all of us, to bring those other cultural experiences within the black community over to the African American Club so that way it can be displayed properly and it can be put out there properly. Again, it's not for everybody, you know what I mean? Because again, the structure is, you know, a little bit more militant, you know what I mean? But that's so that way, Corey, I only get one shot at this. That's it. So if it goes awry, it's on me. It's not on everybody else. It's my job as the founder to gain the trust, to earn the trust of our community, not just Black people, right? But Kenosha as a whole, right? Integrity is a big thing for me, right? And again, having this one chance to get it right means so much more in, you know, in a vacuum than it would, you know, on the outside, because people, you know, outside of Kenosha, they have absolutely no idea, nor do they even care, to be honest, right? But we do, and we're inside this vacuum. So, so I have to be very, you know, on point. So, yeah, man.
That's awesome. But it seems like things are, I mean, headed in the direction of your vision. I mean, if we even can even take it with bringing it back to the gala, you know?
Yeah.
I've been seeing all different types of people excited, pumped, making videos and stuff about, you know, they're excited, they can't wait, get your tickets, you know, and like you said, it's there to represent African-American culture and to push that forward, but to see, you know, how inclusive it's been and how excited and the energy behind it, you know, I mean, say we were trying to do this last year, the same exact month last year, you know, like, you know, it's...
Listen, there's no way, you know, because we were still in inception, right, last year. I guess physically we were, but yeah, you're right. Last year around this time, right, you know, we're coming up on the anniversary of some terrible events, right? But I don't know if we were ready. Right. So, I mean, and I guess that was my epiphany just now where, you know, I'm looking at other people and I'm like, how come you guys didn't, you know, think of the African American Club? How come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? And it's that, like, literally this epiphany that just came together. It was maybe we weren't ready. Maybe the Kenosha was not ready, but now maybe they are, you know. I mean, whether they are or not, we here.
We are, it seems to be, you know, doing good. So let's talk a little bit about the gala. Let's kind of get people amped about this. So,
yes.
I mean, what was the idea when you were kind of coming up with an idea for the event, and how did you land on a gala?
I'm extra. Right, that's just me. I'm extra. I like nice things. I like going on vacation, my family. I like, you know what I mean? But ultimately it was like, you know, this is our, for lack of terminology, this is our, I don't want to say coming out, but this is us, you know, introducing ourselves to this grand stage. And to do so in a mild-mannered way would really be against the culture, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like for us to just be like, hey, here we are, you know what I mean?
That's not.
Right? But for us to be like, yo, check it out. This is what we got going on, blah, you know, and just be, you know, because I'm passionate about this, right? But to show my passion, to show that we are, our community isn't just what they see in the national television, you know, spotlight or social media and things like that. Our culture isn't, all of us didn't come from the hood. Now, maybe, you know, my story is probably similar to a lot of others, right? But there are those who are out there who didn't have that necessary or didn't necessarily grow up in that that stereotypical system, right? So we want to highlight them. as well. We want to highlight those who, the middle class, African-American community, the upper echelons, right? The one percenters, because we have some of those as well. We're not just a group. We are a culture. So, okay, how do I get people to understand that we're more than, the status quo? So I was talking to my cousin Alvin. We were sitting there at the barbershop, and he's like, "So what are you thinking? What do you want to do?" I said, "Well, in my face, this is my business plan. I'm going line by line, right?" And it says, "Hey, we got to get some fundraising here going pretty soon." And he's like, "Yeah, we do." He goes, "How do you think we're going to do it?" I said, "Well, I don't know yet, but we got to do something." And then right there, I just had the idea. We're going to do a gala. And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yes." I said, "When was the last time you got dressed up, in a tuxedo, or had your lady out there in a ballroom gown or something like that? When was the last time you did that?" And he thought about it, and he had thought about it. I was like, "Exactly." Right? And, I asked a couple of people to help out and stuff like that with the event. It didn't. Those people were busy. And I kind of took that as, you have nobody, to guard you with guardrails. Go. So I asked people. I was like, "Hey, would you mind?" And those would, they probably had other things that were, they were busy. And like I said, I had no guardrails. So essentially it was, let's do it. So, we're going to have, so first things first, our tickets, right? Our tickets are made of steel, right? That's by design. My grandmother, her maiden name is Steel. So it's kind of fitting because, obviously she's such a, has such an impact on not just my life, but a lot of people's lives. I was able to talk to the guys at CNC Off-Road on 60th. And, I went down to American Laser Mark here in Kenosha. They are just north of the old drive-in movie theater on Sheridan Road. I'll say two blocks north. Went to him. His name is Dale, and went to him, and he says, "Hey, what are you thinking?" At first, I was just thinking, printed tickets or something like that. And I kept looking. I'm like, laser etch. I kept looking. I said, "Hey, man, could you tell me how this works?" And kind of gave me an idea of how everything worked. And I said, "Okay, cool." And he says, "Look, if this is the idea that you have," he's like, "how about this? If you can get the steel, then we got you. We'll take care of this." So I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, for the African American Club, absolutely."
Dang, that's what's up.
So I was like, "Oh, okay." And then it just was like,
find the steel,
right? Let's find the steel. So I, a friend of mine was like, "Hey, have you tried CNC Off-Road on 60th? And I was like, "No. Let me go over and check them out." So went over there, check out Bob. Bob was like, "Hey," he's like, "Look, it ain't gonna be cheap, but we'll knock it out for you." So I was like, "Okay, cool." Came back and he gave me a price and said, "This isn't cheap." Like I was like, "Hey man, I got it in my pocket right now." You know what I mean? But he was he just was amazing, right? So he did it, knocked it all out, knocked out the stamps and everything. And I went back to American Laser Mark, and they just hooked it up.
Wow, that's awesome. They just hooked it up.
So, and then after that, it was just, everything just started to fall in place. Because we're fundraising, we recognize the tickets are expensive. For some, and not so expensive to others. And that's not neither here nor there. But, you know, the goal was to try and get sponsorships so that way we could, you know, kind of cover our bases because, you know, I started promoting the APIS before I even signed the contract, right? Because, you know, the APIS itself was such an amazing, it's so such a cool place.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Such a cool place. And I'm like, you know, we have to do it here. There are other great places here in Kenosha that we could have done it.
For the theme that you're going with, though, it's kind of, you know, it's
fitting, right? So yeah. So went to them, and you know, they have they've helped us out. Well, they were gracious enough to let us have the rooftop.
Rooftop was nice too,
man. You know, so after that, it just was like, okay, we got to do something more now. We gotta. So it just kind of like got big, and everyone's like, this is awesome, and. You know, I go always go back to my cousin who's like, okay, so how are we going to pay for it? And I'm like, I'll figure it out. And so I was knocking on doors, you know, came down here downtown, and they were all looking at me like I was crazy. I am, whatever. but told him, I was like, hey, man, I got to. He's like, well, what's the number? I told him the number. I said, we got 3 weeks. He said, impossible. I said, I know. So here we are. but now, so it kept going, and then I called in a favor with Leroy Butler from the Green Bay Packers. I met him when I was in the military. I met him and then a couple other NFL players. So I was in the military. I was in the infantry. And there ain't too many brothers in the infantry, right? So at the time, I was the only one in the unit. And Leroy, he was like, he just kept looking at me, you know. You know how we are. The culture says if I see somebody in an uncomfortable position, then we gonna speak to him, right? So I walked over to him or whatever, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? He goes, I gotta ask. He was like, who are you? He's like, why are you here? And I was like, I'm Wes. I'm a badass. he laughs, he chuckles or whatever, and I'm like, no, seriously, I'm a badass. That's why I'm in this unit. And you know, he's laughing. I said, no, ask this guy. You know, so he's like, ask this private. This private comes in. He's like, let me ask you a question. He goes, you know, Sergeant Wes right here. He's like, and the guy's like, he goes, yeah. He goes, well, what do you think of him? He's like, oh, Sergeant Wes, he's a badass. I turned and looked at him. I was like, see? Told you. But anyway, we chopped it up, had a good time talking and everything like that. And then he gave me his phone number. He's like, hey, man, here's my phone number. You know what I'm saying? I'm in that area all the time and everything like that. Hit me up whenever you want. You know, go chop it up and hang out. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. So I put his phone number in my phone and... when am I going to talk to this, you know, future Hall of Famer? You know what I mean? So I had asked someone else to be our keynote speaker. Unfortunately, he wasn't available at the time. So I kind of was like, oh, man. So I went to my brother's house and we're talking. And he's like, man, I know you know somebody famous. And I opened my phone up, and I looked, and it was Leroy Butler right there in my phone. So I called him. So I was like, hey, man, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Wes. You know what I'm saying? If you wouldn't mind, give me a call back. I have a gala coming up, and I would love for you to be our keynote speaker. And it went to voicemail. All right, well, in the voicemail, that's what I said. I'm sorry. And then from there, probably like 2 minutes later, he calls me back. And I said, hello. He's like, Wes, what's up, man? He's like, I was wondering when you was going to call me. He's like, why'd it take you so long? I said, hey, Lee, listen, I didn't want to bother you. He's like, man, I gave you my personal number. I didn't give you my business line or nothing like that. I gave you my personal. I've been wanting to talk to you and all this other stuff or whatever. And I was like, yo, that's love. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
So he was like, look, here's my assistant's number. Get it all set up or whatever. He was like, but don't call me for this. Call my assistant. He's like, call me back. We talk about some other stuff. I said, okay, bad. So I was talking to his assistant back and forth and everything like that. And, you know, meanwhile, we're like, hey, let's go and you know, have a drink. Let's go talk some crazy stuff or whatever. And we've been talking and everything like that. And, you know, then everything got worked out. Boom. Went from there.
That's what's up. So all falls in place.
It does, man. It does. And then it was like, oh, what are you going to do now? You got to do something else. You know, you got to do something. And I was like, okay, well, we got our keynote speaker. We need some music, obviously. And, you know, it's a classy event. It's a gala. It's a black tie event. So I was scrolling through YouTube and found Wendy Indy from Chicago. She's a classically trained violinist specializing in, you know, hip hop.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, man.
That's
so. So she's, you know, saying I've been watching her and everything like that. And I reached out to her and she was like, say less.
That's what's up.
I got you. And it just, again, so things are just going, not just as it's been planned, but for the most part, without too many snags. So yeah. Yeah.
Meant to be.
I like to think so.
Oh, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, man.
So what are you trying to let people know before the gala? Just, hey.
Tickets are not going to be on sale at the gala. And I know a lot of people are like, yo, like, it's hard to get these tickets. That's by design. And I want to preface this with, you know, with respect to, you know, all of our allies and things like that, or just people who just want to be in the room. I know better. If I were to just put it out there on our website, theAfricanAmericanClub.com, by the way, if I was going to put that out there on the website, you know, those tickets could go just like that, and I'd have an uneven room, right? So it would be explaining that to my grandmother of why there is 70% allies in the room who aren't necessarily of you know, African American descent, and only 30%, you know, other or us, black and brown. That's kind of hard.
Right.
So we've been very selective in the ticket sales portion of it. Now, not selective as in who can get a ticket, but when it comes to like our allies, it's almost first come, first serve. And the overwhelming like feedback that I've been getting is amazing because a lot of the African-American population here. but anyway. All those words basically saying that you know, we want to make sure that, you know, our numbers for those people of color, for black folks, we can get in there and we can have a good time and be amongst those who are, you know, of the culture, for the culture, and would love to learn from the culture. So yeah, man. Let's see, what else? What else I want y'all to know? We're taking sponsors and donors. There have been a lot of people who aren't able to make it, and they've purchased tickets as a donation. Now, if any one of you guys would love to donate, we accept all donations. If you specifically want a ticket, you better come with the name of the person that you want that ticket to go to. Okay, and that's by obviously another thing by design. If someone said, "Hey, Wes, here's you know a donation of 10 tickets," and you know next thing you know you see a bunch of my homeboys in the building, you know what I mean? Like how fair is that?
Right.
So what I don't want is any of that favoritism stuff or the political gain or something like that. I've had to turn down people who've, you know, asked for favors, and it's just like, hey, listen, I get it, but I can't. I'm trying to build trust here, and I'm trying to sustain that trust. So, unfortunately, now if you know somebody, or if you can get someone like your job to donate a ticket on your behalf or whatever, that's ideal, right? Your donation or your job's donation is going to be met with a donation receipt. They're going to make sure, I mean, I'm going to make sure everyone gets their kickback love. You know what I mean? because we are operating under a nonprofit. So we're going to do, you know, those things the right way. But at the same time, you know, I don't want anyone to say, oh, he got this person a ticket, and got this person a ticket, you know, because he did this and this. No. Mm. You know, ask any one of my donors. They'll say, hey, yes, he said, do not ask him for any names. You know, I can, you know, point out groups or something like that that I've heard of, or different church congregations. You know what I mean? But for me, for a specific number, that's not fair to the culture. So we're not gonna do that. But we are taking sponsors, donors. You know, we're looking at, you know, partnerships and things like that. Because that's in the next portion of our phasing.
How would people reach out to you?
So my I don't want everybody on my Facebook page. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. Anyway, info@theAfricanAmericanClub.com, info@theAfricanAmericanClub.com, or Kendall.West, KENDAL. West, as in the cardinal direction, WEST, at theAfricanAmericanClub.com. That's my email. My personal phone number, will not be giving that out. My business line, the African American Club business line, is 866-255-1865. 866-BLK-1865.
I was going to say that. 1865?
Yeah, man.
You must have picked that up.
Huh. Who knew? Who knew that vanity number like that
luckily draws?
Now I'm paying for that. And hey, Grasshopper, if y'all seeing this, like, hook me up, because y'all taxing your boy. And it don't even work half the time. But, you know, that's the virtual side of everything or whatever. The goal for the gala is to obviously come together, hang out, have a good time, fundraising, obviously, because those funds are for us to establish a more physical presence here in Kenosha, ultimately. You know, there are leasing options and things like that, but, you know, we can't teach ownership in our, you know, business incubator in a leased building. Right. I mean, you could, but... Yeah.
So, right. No, I feel
so,
that.
So there's that. But but yeah, so that's where I can be reached at. But you know, if everybody knows me, or if they don't, my 6 degrees of separation is actually 2. So someone can find me. If you found me on Facebook, you can find me anywhere. If you just drive down the street and see me in my slingshot, me and my homeboys terrorizing the city in our slingshot. We're those guys. All the lights and TVs and our slingshots. Yeah, that's us. So, man, stop us. Awesome. What else, man?
I can see if anyone had any questions.
Oh, yeah. What up, Kenosha?
Let's see if anyone had any questions, or if you have a question, you can go ahead and shoot that down in the chat right now. We'll see.
How many people got watching? 20, 25 people?
Yeah.
I love it.
So it looks like we might not have any.
No questions yet?
People just watching along with us.
I must be too boring.
I mean, there's a lot of good information in here. People may just be listening in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems. African American Farm or African American Center in every city. Wait, it says, my idea is to piggyback upon yours and create an African American Farm or African American Center in every city.
Yeah, so that's awesome. We're going to scale, but we got to start here first. We got to make it perfect here in Kenosha. The goal, obviously, in phase 3 is to scale to other cities. Whether the African American population is, you know, 200,000, 200, 2 million, doesn't matter. You know, the African American Club is needed everywhere, because again, it's just a cultural thing. So I love it.
Then we have said Nisha says, "Hey Wes, proud of you."
Who said that?
Nisha.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What up, Nisha?
So she, yeah, so she's proud. It doesn't look like we're getting any questions in, so go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah, man.
Man, Kendall, I appreciate you coming in.
Hey, man.
Giving us the information on the African American Club.
Yeah, man.
And the gala that's going on.
That's the car.
Got the car. Appreciate it.
That's the car.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, we're going to definitely have a good time and knock some stuff out. You get your ticket yet?
Not yet.
We're going to get you a ticket, but I got you.
For sure.
For sure. All
right. Sounds good.
Make sure you get in the building and but you got a skateboard down that mount.
I can do that.
In a tux?
I can do that. I definitely can do that.
Bet.
For you, I'll do that.
I need the tux and I need the skateboard. I need you to be down there doing your thing.
I got you, man.
Bet, man. I appreciate you, dog.
Man, Wes, man, I appreciate you for everything that you're doing. This is amazing. Like you said, like I can't believe that this wasn't already established, but the hands that it's in right now, they're good hands. So, man,
yeah, man,
very promising for the future.
Absolutely.
All right, absolutely, man. So, again, if you need to get a hold of Kendall West here, he already let you know, but 1-866-BLK-865 is a good way to
1865.
Call. 1865. Or kendall.west@theafricanamericanclub.com. Or you could just reach out to me. It might even be easier for you to just reach out to me, and I can link you guys together. But
yeah, hit him up. Hit him up first, and then
I'm about to get blown up. But it's all right. Hey, but I will direct all of the calls and messages.
Just send me the invoice, bro, because I'm tired of talking to people already.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much, Kendall. Man,
appreciate
man,
you.
Much success for you and the club in the future. And man, it's great to see this happening here in Kenosha.
For sure, man. All right, man.
Yep.
Appreciate you.